Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Our second hour here on Circles of Change. Thanks for joining us this weekend on Super Bowl weekend. This is indeed our fourth season, and time flies when you're having fun, or maybe when you're unconscious. So it's my pleasure and real honor to get the opportunity to do this. You know, often on the show we talk about embracing the F's when you're in a state of transition, so you can get an A. And those F's were faith, family, friends, fun, food, fitness, focus on others, and finances. So it's timely I should have two colleagues that make it possible for me to be on the air, and that would be Larry Loth and Chris Lopez. So welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Great. Well, it's really fun. Let me give you a brief introduction. Larry Loth has been leading the team of Loth Lopez now for over 25 years with experience in retirement investment planning, 22 of it as a certified financial planner. Larry is a graduate of U of A with a Bachelor of Science in Finance and Business Administration, as was recently honored as one of the top financial planning advisors in the U.S. Larry lives here in Tucson and his wife Lynn and four beloved dogs. Member of the Sunrise Rotary Club of Tucson and active on the board of the Humane Society. Chris, he is also a U of A graduate with a BS in exercise physiology and a master's in education. He's a former linebacker for the Desert Swarm Defense, also a registered investment advisor, principal, and certified financial planner. Chris has 9 years of experience in the wealth management and retirement planning space. He and his wife, Holly, lead a busy life, keeping up with their two rambunctious boys, CJ and Josh. And Chris, as well, is active in the Rincon Rotary Club and is a member of the U of A's Letterman's Club. So again, welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Larry, could you give us a historical perspective of your firm?
Sure, I'd be glad to. In 1986, I started to survey the landscape of the financial industry and realized that there weren't really any people in the industry, or very few, that addressed the issue of financial planning. Most of the people in the financial industry at that time were simply out to try to sell the client something.
Right, and trade, right?
Yes, exactly, okay. In hopes that that would satisfy their financial planning goals. So I started the firm in 1986 with the intention of providing both investment advice and financial planning advice. I received my CFP, Certified Financial Planner designation, in 1989. The practice grew over a number of years with the emphasis on financial planning. In 2000, Chris joined me, and he became a partner last year. He's also, as you said, a certified financial planner. We've expanded the firm greatly over those years. We now have three what we call associate planners who are also certified financial planners plus support staff. We manage over $130 million in assets, and we have approximately 100 very serious financial planning clients.
You bet. That's great. Chris, is there a minimum amount that people need to invest, even think that they should engage with a financial institution such as yours?
Yes, Zara, we do have a minimum. Due to the amount of time that we spend with clients in developing their personal financial plan and the level of customer service that we provide to each individual, we ask that potential new clients have a minimum of $250,000 of investable assets.
Okay, because this is truly a portfolio approach. It isn't just going to be trading stocks, as some people might think.
Correct.
On investments. So general requirements then that you find on the other side of the table, Larry, what requirements do your clients have?
Well, the first requirement is that they be nice people, which sort of makes sense. We also like clients that are what we call informed delegators, that are willing to allow us to do our job without interfering in the process. We are not the firm that is for someone who wants to pick their own stocks, or it was certainly not the firm for aggressive trading or high risk taking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's an interesting. So, as many times people run a business, is to know what you are and what you aren't, and that gets a very clear. Chris, you're using the terms advance and protect. What do you mean by that?
Well, let's face it, Zara. The only way investing works is if you actually sell and take the profits before they erode after you invest.
Well said.
Investing 101 also tells us that you should buy low and sell high and not to buy and hold forever. A lot of people from 2000 to 2002 and most recently in 2008, too many times heard from the pundits on TV or their advisor that they had at the time, the phrases, just hang in there. It'll come back.
Right. Yeah, and we know that didn't.
That's correct. The markets and the economy both go through constant up and down cycles. And if one chooses to retire or needs their money to live on during one of these inevitable down cycles, the markets, it could be very painful to their standard of living and could change it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so this advance and protect, what you're really doing is getting ahead of some of those waves.
Correct. The premise of the strategy is it's a capital preservation model with an offensive strategy. This means that the primary directive is to control risk, and its only objective is to capture growth when the market is rising and protect capital when the market's falling. To do this, we use qualitative and quantitative strategies to achieve this goal. This rigid buy and sell discipline is the crux and foundation of what we do, and it has helped our clients sustain their assets and maintain their standard of living over the last few years.
Yeah, and I think there's another trigger in that mix that often financial planning doesn't leverage, and that is you folks look at cash as a viable position then.
Correct. We do consider cash as an asset, and that helps us protect and lower risk.
Exactly.
as we proceed. So as things get more risky and the market starts to go down, we do sell and we protect their portfolio by going to cash.
To cash, exactly. Well, Larry, does the client have to pay then a fee for each one of these types of trades or moves?
No. What we do, Zara, is that we charge a flat percentage fee on the assets that we manage, and we pay all the cost of trading. So the client knows that exactly what they're going to pay for the management of the asset portfolio. We essentially position ourselves on the same side as the client. And what I mean by that is that if the value of the account goes up, we get a straight percentage of a higher amount.
Sure.
So we get a pay raise. If the value of the account goes down, then we get a percentage of a lower amount. So we actually take a pay cut. So we have, our interests are directly aligned with the interests of the client. So when we make a trade, it's not because I need to make a payment on my Mercedes. It's actually to either protect the portfolio against losses or to participate in the gains.
And, you know, that works in any business context. It's, you know, tell me how you pay me, I'll tell you how I behave. So that partnership that you've cemented with your clients is a really important one. You know, we used, Chris, when you were giving us a little bit of 101 about advance and protect, we also were talking about qualitative approach, just not quantitative, right? So it isn't, Larry, just about looking at master spreadsheets or watching indicators on the Internet. You're also looking at the qualitative side, aren't you?
Well, we do look at the qualitative side, but we start with a quantitative process.
Where
Chris will go into. We do look at economics and the political landscape, and we do pay attention to what asset classes might be better positioned going forward.
Okay, that's great. So I guess I'm sure our listeners are right at that crux of saying, so how is it you pick the stocks?
Yes, Zara, we go through an extensive process. I actually did a search on the way over, and there's roughly about over 15,000 U.S. companies that have publicly traded stock. So in order to get through all those, we use a computer-based stock screener or filter, if you will. Some of these, and in those filters, there are some technical data. Some of the categories are sales versus growth, earnings per share growth, mm-hmm. earnings per share versus sales, relative value, and different valuations of those securities. And what this filter does, it allows us to filter through those 15,000 stocks and get lower that to a number of companies we can deal with. And of course, the valuations we put in those characteristics are proprietary to what we do in our portfolios. But for example, we just did a rescreen the beginning of January. And out of those 15,000 stocks, there were only 56 companies that met our requirements.
So you really are looking to cut, and I assume that you are regularly scanning the horizon. It isn't always the same 50 for X amount of time, right?
Correct. Every quarter, we go through a hard screen with the help of one of our portfolio managers that we deal with, and it helps us to stay on top of things that are going on.
Great. That's great. Now, Laurie, though, your firm, though, goes way beyond what some people might think are the traditional methods, right? I mean, you folks are really using some contemporary approaches. What do you mean by that?
Well, we take the emotion out of investing. Most investors, when they buy a stock, sometimes they tend to fall in love with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's gone down, but I haven't sold it yet, so I really haven't taken a loss. And the further it goes down, the more in love they become with those particular individual stocks. So what our process does is it avoids that factor of our opinion and using, in essence, falling in love with stocks. Everything is process driven. So we do, as I said before, do a qualitative approach where, for instance, this year, after we filtered those down to those 56 stocks, we have more tended the portfolio or more focused the portfolio towards technology this year, whereas last year we were focused not primarily but partially towards energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at the political landscape in the sense of technology this year. There are a lot of advantages or a lot of potential advantages of being in technology, primarily due to the fact that computer systems and businesses are the oldest they've been in the history of this country, and the fact that the now companies are allowed to 100% deduct their purchase of computer systems. So we feel that there's going to be a major push this year in technology, whereas last year it was primarily energy. But if the technology company doesn't make it through our screen, we will not purchase it.
Well, that's right. And I think our listeners would know that you just aren't providing financial advice just in the stock end of the world, right? I mean, you're also looking at bonds and other instruments.
Yes, we do. We do have a bond model that we run. However, right now, we're pretty much in cash in the bond model. With rising interest rates, we feel that is a very, very dangerous asset class at the moment. And probably the most dangerous asset class, we believe, is our municipal bonds. But again, we don't predict. We're just in the business of trying to avoid risk and participate when we have indications from our software that the asset class is moving in the right direction.
So I guess back to that one question is, why don't you use the traditional methods of managing money? One of those was the mantra that you should have X percent in bonds and X percent in stocks and Y percent in these type of things. And that kind of is not how you look at balancing a portfolio then.
Well, the reason that most advisors and most investors use a asset allocation model, and it's called modern portfolio theory, and the results during down markets is tragic, because when investments or the economy is going in the wrong direction, all asset classes take a hit.
Right.
In fact, in 2008, the only asset class, and the beginning of 2009, excuse me, the only asset class that really didn't lose money was a money market account or U.S. government bonds, because there was this flight to quality, which drove the demand for U.S. government bonds up, thus the prices up. So by using a asset allocated method, what happens is that you can take tremendous losses. The other traditional way of investing is called tactical investing, where you try to move the money into an asset class that you think might be doing well. So if you feel that foreign stocks are not going to do well and domestic mid-cap stocks are going to do well, then you move the money from foreign stocks to domestic mid-cap. The problem with that, again, is the same issue. When the markets go down,
and everything, yeah.
Everything goes down. So our feeling is, and it's been proven by results, is that it's better to just go to the sidelines and avoid the risk. Because when someone gets ready to retire, or when they're in a retirement mode where the income stream has essentially stopped, they just can't afford to take a major loss. The stock market from 2000 to 2002, from top to bottom, was down 50%. And if you need to recover to get just back to even, you have to make 100% return on that 50% base. This last drop in the market from 2008 to 2009, the market was down 57%. You have to make 122% return to get back to even. So the key is not to lose money. One of the most famous investors, as you know, is Warren Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
And he has two rules of investing. And the first rule is don't lose money. Do you know what the second rule is?
What's that?
Remember the first rule.
Remember the first rule.
Exactly.
Well, and if I could just clarify as well, your mission here isn't just, or message is not just people who are in the retirement phase of their life. I mean, I look at myself and my husband, we have younger kids that are teens, so part of our whole strategy is about providing for them so we can weather the college years, which in our kids' case probably is going to be more than undergraduate school, but multiple years. So indeed, your strategy and approach and your clients includes a whole cross-section of people, does it not?
Well, that's correct. It's just not retirement. People who are retired or about to retire, we have many clients in essentially your situation who are in the accumulation phase.
Right.
And again, it really boils down to not taking that big loss. And so it's better to be slow and steady than to be aggressive with up and down portfolios. Most people find that the emotional impact of a loss is much greater than the emotional impact of a gain. So we're trying to keep people sane, and we are slow, we're steady, and we're somewhat boring.
Yeah. But in a very good way, right, Chris?
Yes.
Well, tell us, I think, Larry, thank you. That was a great explanation of the baseline of the pros, the differences, I'll call it, and also some of the sameness. So what do you feel your success rate has been, or how would you characterize success? You've been with the firm now around 10 years. What does it feel like?
It's been great. Since we've implemented and used the Advance and Protect approach, we've had substantial performance over and above what most people call the benchmarks or the indices, which is, for instance, the Standard & Poor's 500 or the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And we've accomplished that outperformance with a lot less risk, meaning we have a lower risk-adjusted return. It's strictly due to the fact that as risk presents itself in the market, so the stock market starts to go down, we protect and go to cash.
Mm-hmm. That's
pretty much how we've done it.
You know, part of this dynamic, of course, this isn't just the two of you working, doing the magic that you do, Larry. You mentioned in your opening remarks you have a whole team. This whole idea of customer service then, let's touch on that topic.
Well, we really pride ourselves on customer service. I think you may have seen some of those television ads where the woman, I think it's a Schwab ad, where the woman is saying that in order to attract her account, they were sort of too much, and they were trying to give her too much service, and the minute they signed the account up, she never heard from them again.
Yeah.
We have a process where we are always in contact with clients. We have scheduled review meetings with clients. We're always there to answer the telephone. I am especially proud of the staff that we have. We have, as I said before, have three associate planners, and again, they're all certified financial planners. We have broken up the practice or the client base into approximately three different groups, not different in the sense that they're different investors, but just in size, so that each one of those associate planners is responsible for one third of the practice to make sure everything goes correctly. So when we meet with a client or clients, the client has three certified financial planners working on their situation. That would include me and Chris and one of the associate planners. So we do a team approach on clients. So customer service is the number one aspect of our firm, and I think any client will tell you the same thing, that we are very, very good at the financial planning process and the customer service process, and we think we're pretty good at the investment process. When a client comes to us, they end up with a situation where they have all of the things that they need to do, such as estate planning, insurance planning, all of those issues are buttoned up and taken care of, rather than having three or four different advisors.
In three or four different firms. So this idea of a bit of one-stop shopping.
That's correct.
And then you are really looking at also the system interaction between all those estate planning, insurance, all these different investment instruments. And then also, is it not the time in your clients' lives as to when they're going to be potentially making decisions?
That's correct. We got a very nice compliment from an attorney the other day that says we were the only financial planning firm in town that she's aware of that actually gathers all of this information and motivates the clients to get it done.
Yeah, that's right. And we should mention that, of course, that you have clients that are not just Tucson-based, right?
Yes, we have clients across the country, and, of course, we use technology to interface with them. So we're not strictly limited to Tucson.
Oh, that's great. Just a couple closing comments with regard to the passion that both of you have for your field and this the whole process. I mean, you obviously have the credentials. You go back for continuing education and certification. What motivates you to stay hooked in this kind of work, Chris?
I think Larry and I motivation, as along with our staff, is we really like to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in what we do, we care about our clients and we're involved every step of the way. We actually reach out to clients who are older. We reach out to their kids and we make sure that everybody involved with the family that's going to be involved with the process for years to come is involved and knows what's going on, what to expect. So there's continuity in everything that the client is expecting to happen in their financial plan.
It must be fun, Larry, for you to have tracked then multiple generations then. Have you had several family situations to do that?
Yes. One of the things we like to do with clients is what we call a family meeting, where we will bring in, if they're local, bring in the children and bring in any of their children from out of town. We can do that electronically, obviously. We bring in the estate planning attorney to that meeting. We bring, if appropriate, their property and casualty agent to that meeting, and we also bring their accountant to that meeting. So it's sort of an all about the client meeting and what's going on. So everybody's informed, everybody's on the same page, so nothing drops through the crack in the floors.
So my 16-year-old son, we just took delivery of a new vehicle for him, actually a new used Jeep. It's a very cool car. So something tells me we need a financial planning meeting with Jake there to understand this isn't about just putting money in the gas in the gas tank then.
That's correct.
That's correct.
So, gee, you might be able to help me get him aligned about this idea of part-time job and so on to pay for gasoline, crickets for his lizard, you know, the whole list, right?
Yep. We'd be happy to work with Jake.
See, so our clients should, you know, our listeners should know that getting your right financial investors, there's some tertiary effects there that you can bring other parties to the team to manage it.
That's correct.
Well, this whole concept of managing change, I mean, obviously it isn't just the financial change that you've seen your clients go through. It's also a lot of life changes. So, you know, it's like those of us that, you know, go to the same hairdresser who hears the other issues we have in our life. I'm certain that you all also have an element of that coaching and counseling through that relationship building process.
That's correct. We are counselors in a lot of ways. And like I said before, we help our clients in any way, shape, or form. We do have the largest Rolodex in Tucson. I mean, I've gone as I have a personal interest in cars and have gone as far as helping a recently widowed client buy a new car so she didn't get taken advantage of. So we really try to get involved in every aspect of the client's life because the bottom line is we care about our clients.
Yeah.
Well, we really do act as the hub for their financial for their financial situation. So we really know more about the client than their attorney knows and their accountant knows. So you're right. We do have to pay attention to what clients are trying to accomplish.
That's great. Well, Chris Lopez and Larry Loft, thank you so much for joining us today from Loft Lopez and Associates, retirement income specialists who are all about advancing and protecting portfolios. And as well, thank you, gentlemen, for your ongoing sponsorship of Circles of Change Radio. We couldn't be here. We're not for your investment in us.
Thank you very much for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Are you one of many Americans who've seen a decline in the value of your 401k? Are you rethinking your retirement plans? Contact Loft Lopez and Associates. Loft Lopez and Associates' primary directive is to build wealth by controlling risk. They utilize an advance and protect strategy unparalleled in the industry. Contact Lof Lopez & Associates, 1-800-829-2523, or visit loflopez.com. Lof Lopez. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer and member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representatives, Lof Lopez & Associates, LLC. A registered investment advisor, Cambridge and Lof Lopez & Associates, LLC are not affiliated.